Thank our lead pastor, Pastor Nifei BME, for this opportunity to share the word today. I want to thank the board of ministers, and I want to thank God for his grace, because he is the one who has made each and every one of us here sufficient ministers. He says that in his word. So, by the instruction of our lead pastor, I'll be sharing a word with us today, and it's titled, The Faith of God. The Faith of God. The Faith of God. But before we define what the faith of God is, I firstly want us to define what the faith of God is not, right? So, humanly speaking, we have our five senses. We see, we feel, we smell, we touch, and we taste, right? The human kind of faith is a faith that is dependent on these five senses. I believe that this is a phone because I've seen it and it's a phone. And I've seen others holding a phone, so I know and I believe that this is a phone. I have faith that this is a phone. I know this is not a microphone because I can see it, right? That is how the human faith works. Let me give an example. So I went to cut my hair, and you know, as for the guys, this one, you will understand this well. When there is the main barber and when there is his apprentice, right? So I went to cut my hair, and the main barber was busy. Me and another guy were waiting. And then the apprentice came and said, hey, come now. And the other guy said, I'll wait. And the main barber was really busy. But the apprentice, the other guy said, I will wait. Why? Because he does not have faith. He has not seen this one's work. So there is no faith that he can put in him. But he has faith in the main barber's work because he has seen it and he understands, oh, I can trust this one with my hairline. So that is how the human kind of faith work. That is how our senses rule. That is the faith that as humans we are limited to. We are limited to that which you can see, which you can hear, which you can feel, which you can taste, right? So let's read John. I want to give two examples, and then we would continue from there and look at what the God kind of faith is. John 20, verse 24 to 29. Are we there? John 20, 24 to 29. Are we there? Okay. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hand, and reach your hand in here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. So Thomas believed that Jesus had raised from the dead because he saw him. Right? In the book of John 14, verse 1 to 6, we don't need to go there, but when Jesus was telling them that in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you and all that. And in around verse 5, Jesus said that where I'm going, you know. He told them, he said, where I'm going, you know. Then Thomas said, sir, he rose up his hand, he said, how? We don't know this place. Like, we don't know this. So Thomas could not see the physical dwelling place. Thomas could not see the physical house of God where Jesus said he was going, or I'm going to my Father's house. Thomas could not see it. So he asked, we don't know this place where you are going. How can you say we know it, right? But when we have come to the understanding of faith, what I'm saying there is, Thomas did not understand what Jesus was saying. Or Thomas did not lay hold of what Jesus was saying, but because he could not see a physical structure, he could not see, Jesus did not say, oh, I'll be going to this place. It's located at this place in Jerusalem, right? So Thomas did not lay hold of it at that time. Right? So now that we've explained what the faith of God is not, and we know that the faith of God is not is the human kind of faith. The faith that is dependent on what we see, feel, hear, depending on our senses, right? So now let's look at what is this faith of God. Now we are looking at three things together. What is this faith of God? Who can get access to this faith of God? And how can we get access to this faith of God? So these are the three things that we want to look at together, right? So first of all, I want to define the faith of God in three ways, and then we'll go further. Let's make it four. So first of all, the faith of God is the kind of faith that calls things that be not as though they were or as though they are. So the faith of God is the kind of faith that calls things that be not as though they are. So Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen and the things which are visible were not made by things which are visible. So we know that in the creation story, God spoke things into being. He did not use his hand to plant a seed and then trees grew. So he spoke it, right? Okay, so additional verse, let's add Romans 14 verse 7. Let's go there. Romans 14 verse 7. We'll also come back to this. Romans 14. No, I think it's Romans 4. Sorry. Romans 4 verse 17, not 14 verse 7. I put the one in the wrong place. Romans 4 verse 17. Are we there? Romans 4 verse 17. He said, as it's written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So this is the first aspect of the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. It is the faith that calls things that be not as though they are or as though they were. Secondly, this kind of faith operates irrespective of our senses. This kind of faith precedes, better put, this kind of faith precedes our senses. This kind of faith precedes our human knowledge, right? Thirdly, it's a kind of faith where a person believes a thing in his heart without doubting and says it with his mouth and it comes to pass. Is the kind of faith where a person believes a thing in his heart without doubting and says it with his mouth and it comes to pass. So let's read the book of Mark 11. We'll go from 22 to 24. So we are covering what is this God kind of faith. Mark 11 verse 22 to 24. If we are there, let's say Jesus is Lord. If you are not there, say I'm blessed. Okay, I'll wait for the blessed ones. Okay, I'm reading. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Some versions will say, have the faith of God. But it's the same thing. He said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them. So it says, whoever says to the mountain and does not doubt, like whoever says it and does not doubt it, he will have it, right? So we see that there is this. Now, obviously, the word of God is not instructing us to go and stand in front of a mountain, literal mountain, and then begin to command it to. That is temptation. That is how the devil was tempting Jesus, telling him to jump down, telling him to bow down, all these things. That is literal. You are the faith of God is not used for unnecessary things. It's not used for things that are just for you want to show power, right? That is not the intent of the faith of God. The intent of the faith of God is to carry out his will. So you can put that down. The intent of the faith of God is meant for carrying out his will. The intent of God's faith is meant for carrying out his will. It's meant for doing his purpose, not for our own selfish gain. Right? Okay. So we've answered the question, what is this God kind of faith? Oh, the last one I want to add to the what is God's kind of faith. This faith is tenacious. The God kind of faith is tenacious. The God kind of faith is not one that gives up. The God kind of faith holds on to God's word. Right? Okay. So Now we are going to the next one. It says, who can get this kind of faith? Like, how can we get this kind of faith? It says, we are all human, so how can we transcend from this human kind of faith to now begin to experience this God kind of faith? Let us read the book of Romans 10, verse 17. Then we are going to go back and read verse 8 to 10. But let's read Romans 10, verse 17 first. Romans 10, verse 17. Are we there? It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to read TPT translation. Just give me a second. Romans 10, verse 17. I want to read the Passion translation. Okay. It says, faith then is bedded in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Faith then is bedded in the heart that responds to God's anointed utterance and to the anointed one. So how do we get this faith? How does any man get this faith? This faith is gotten by the word of God. This faith is gotten by the gospel. This faith is gotten by the gospel. Let's read. So I said we are going to read verse 17. Then we'll go back and read from verse 8 to 10. Verse 8 to 10. So Romans 10, the same chapter, Romans 10. Now we are reading from verses 8 to 10. It says, are we there? Okay, it's already on the projector. It says, but what does it say? The word of God is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, the word of faith which we preach. The word. So how does any man get this faith? This faith comes by the word. The preceding verses before here was saying, how can they, or the next verses before we get to 17, they say that how can they hear if they are not preached to? How can they be preached to if no one is sent? This, that. So that faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of God that is heard there is the message of the gospel. So it's not like, I understand, like they say, in the context of this paragraph, that faith comes by hearing by the word of God is talking of the content of the gospel. Yes, we can also use it that, like, the more we hear the word, the more our faith is stirred up. That's true. That is valid. But in this context, it's talking of the faith that comes into a man by hearing the gospel. So when a man hears the gospel, he transcends from that human kind of faith and receives the faith of God. You do not accept or you do not receive Christ by your own faith, because the human faith cannot understand it. The human faith cannot believe in a God that he has not seen. How many of us have seen God? I haven't. So we have not seen him, but we believe in him. And that's because we have received the God kind of faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It said, by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself. Both the salvation we received is not of ourselves. Even the faith with which we received the salvation, it was not of ourselves. The hearing of the word of God bettered the God kind of faith in us. And because of that God kind of faith, we're able to receive the life of Christ. We're able to accept the truth of the gospel. Because we did not do that with our senses, with our minds. In different other religions, like, everyone is looking for what makes sense. Okay, this one makes sense. Like, okay, I'm seeing this person. I can pray to this person so it makes sense. Like, but here, it does not make sense. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that he will use the foolishness of the preaching to confound the wise. So the foolishness of the gospel to confound the wise. So it's not something that is like a man came, God came in man form, carried our sins, went to the cross, died. He rose again after 3 days, and we died with him. And when did I die? and we died with him and we rose again with him. That is the reality of what we have believed. And we do not believe that because we were there when Jesus died or because we saw when we were dying, but because the word says it. And okay. So the God kind of faith is the kind of faith that we received when we heard the word of God. It's the kind of faith that we received when we heard the gospel of our salvation. So let us read 2 Peter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Now the next thing I want to point out is that each and every one of us who is sitting here, who has believed that Christ died for him, and who has believed that Christ was raised again for his justification, has faith. There is none of us here that is faithless. There is none of us here who cannot command the power of God. There is none of us here who cannot express that power of God. There is none of us here who cannot lay hold of God's word and see results. There are many reasons why we will not, like, why believers will not see results in life in general, but the reason is not faith. Because let's read, let us read 2 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Sorry, not 2, verse 1. Sorry. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. It said, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and the and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us also read Romans 12. I'll read Romans 12, verse 3 very quickly. Romans 12, verse 3. It says, For I say through the grace that is given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one their measure of faith. So each and every one of us has been dealt a measure of faith, the measure of faith, but each and every one of us has been dealt faith. We have been given faith. So because we have transcended from our human faith that only believes what we can see, feel, sense. Now we have reached by believing in the gospel. That is the greatest use of our faith. Believing in that, in the truth of the gospel is the greatest use of your faith. He said, Romans 1 verse 6, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation for all that believe. The gospel that we believe is the power of God unto salvation. So if we have believed in the gospel, if we have believed Christ in the gospel, then every other thing is doable. Every other thing that his word has said, we can achieve it. Every other thing that his word has told us that we can attain it. Why? Because of the fact that we have believed, firstly, the gospel. So by believing the gospel, we open the judge shall live. I've jumped. I will not jump. I will get there. Don't worry. Okay. In the Bible, even unbelievers express this faith. Now, that is really how? Now, I remember I said that this faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When Jesus was on earth, his fame passed to all surrounding nations. So men heard of him. Men heard of the signs that he was doing, the wonders that he was doing. So let's look at one example. The centurion who trusted in Christ for the healing of his servants. Luke 7, verse 1 to 10. Let's read Luke 7. Let's look at the story of the centurion and what Jesus said after the centurion expressed his faith. So Luke 7, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 10. Are we there? Okay, it says, now, when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that that the one of whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think of myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and your servant will be healed. For I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And my servants do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So we said, remember we said, when we were describing this faith, we said that it's a faith that is not based on our physical senses. It's a faith that is irrespective of our physical senses. It is a faith that calls things that be not as though they were. It is a faith that a person believes a thing in his heart without doubting, and it comes to pass. So we see that this centurion expressed these things for his servant. He knew that Jesus could say a word and it will come to. Jesus did not need to come. He did not need to see Jesus doing anything. He did not need to. He just knew that if Jesus can say it, it will happen. If Jesus can say it, it will happen. So, and I remember one last year or last 2 years, someone in this church, an Indian, I don't know her name. She gave a testimony about how she received Christ here, and then somehow, her mother wasn't born again or anything, but her mother used, like, obviously because she's born again, she had been telling her mother about Christ and all these things, but her mother had not still yet accepted, right? But she said that during the testimony, said, oh, her mother was at the bank or something, and then she said, in the name of Jesus, like, something was going to, she wanted to do something, and then she used the name of Jesus to get it done. So her faith did not come from, she did not see that, oh, I will do this thing by myself. She called things that were not, as she was like, if Jesus is this, or if Jesus is God, or whatever, I would do this. So, that's why I said, even unbelievers can use this faith. Why? Because it's the power of God. It is the power of God, right? Let us, we've read Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. Okay, so God supplies us with salvation, and he supplies us with the faith also to believe it. So everyone who is born again has the faith of God at work in them. Now, before we look at the next part is how do we walk with this faith? Like, how do we manifest this faith? How do we live in this faith? We have to remember that when we believed the gospel, right? We're rounding up this segment of how did we get the faith, how, who can get it, and what is this faith. When we believed the gospel, none of us saw our sins being taken away literally. None of us saw ourselves dying and rising. None of us saw our spirits being dead, and then now our spirits being alive. Right? These are just things that we believed. Right? But now we know that they are true because we are seeing the fruit in our life. We know that they are true because this has birthed new desires in us. This has birthed new passion in us. This has made us like-minded with Christ. So the physical senses always will catch up to the faith. The physical senses would catch up to the faith. So we believe first and our senses will catch on later. So it's not about what makes sense, what does not make sense. Believe in God and your senses will catch up later. Okay, so let's go to another part. It says, how do we then act on this faith? How do we... Let's give another example before I leave here. Blind Bartimaeus, right? I want to use his own to explain, like, the tenacity and believing with the heart that something will be done, and then it's actually happening. So you know the story of blind Bartimaeus, how Jesus was passing by, and then he kept on calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me, calling out, and people were telling him to shut up. But He had heard the word of faith. He knew that this man has been doing things in this side. He cannot just pass me by and I'll still be blind. So he called out. He was calling out. He was tenacious with it. He did not give up, even when men told him to give up. That is the character of this faith. It's one that holds on, even in the face of contradictions, it still holds on. Right? So he and Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And then he made his request. He believed in his heart that it was going to be done. He did not doubt it, and then he gained his sight. So we see how people get this faith and how people use this faith. Right? So, okay, now we can move to the next part. It says, how do we act on this faith? How do we act on this faith? How do we make this faith work in our life? Now, remember that we laid some foundations earlier that every single one who has believed the gospel has the faith of God. Because it is by that faith of God that you're able to believe things that be not as though they are. It's by that faith of God that you are able to believe without seeing. Remember when we read in John 20, the story of Thomas, how Jesus said, Thomas, you have believed because you've seen, but blessed are those who do not see, yet they believe. Right? So, each and every one of us has this faith because we have believed in that which we have not seen. Right? So, another principle that we must know day in, day out, forever, about this, like, God kind of faith is the nature of God. We must know that God is good and God is faithful to keep his word. That must be a foundation. We cannot work on our faith without understanding and laying, no matter what has gone on in our lives, laying hold of that truth that God is good and God is faithful to keep his word. Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, I watch over my word to fulfill it. Right? Isaiah 55 verse 11, he said, so it is, the words that come from my mouth, they will not return to me void. He said, it will accomplish that which I please and it will prosper in that which I have sent it. So we must know that the word of God is faithful to complete that which he has sent it to complete. Right? So that is one key thing. Secondly, we must know that God is the performer and we are the believers. God is the one who performs it. We are the ones who believe it. So, it's not our place to wonder how it will be done. Has the word of God said it? Yes, I lay hold of it. Has the word of God said it? Yes, I lay hold of it. Do I know how it will work? No. But has the word of God said it? Yes, so I lay hold of it. Right? Like I mentioned earlier, every believer has this faith. And then, where I was going before, the just shall live by faith. Right? So, remember like what we explained earlier, that when a man believed, that faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, the just shall live by this faith that he received at salvation. Let us read Romans 1 verse 17 again. Okay, Romans 1 verse 17. We've not read it before. Romans 1 verse 17. I'll read from KJV and I'll read from ERV. I like ERV, the way ERV puts it. So Romans 1 verse 17, it says, let's just read 16 and 17 so that everything will make sense. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So let me read ERV quickly. ERV said, the good news shows how God makes people right with himself. God's way of making people right begins and ends with faith. As the scripture says, the one who is right with God by faith will live forever. So, Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, our faith is authored, or our faith originates in Christ, and our faith is finished in Christ. So the man who is in Christ lives by the faith of Christ, lives by that faith that has been uttered and finished in Christ. So Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified, yet I live, not I who lives, but it's God that lives, like Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we live by the faith of God. What is that faith of God? The faith that calls things that be not as though they were. The faith that is not dependent on our senses. The faith that is tenacious. And the faith that believes in his heart when he says something without doubting and knows that he will receive it. This is the faith with which we live by. So every one of us has received this faith, and every one of us can walk in this faith. Now, are there, like I said before, are there people who are not seeing results, who, like, they are reading the word of God saying this about me, but I'm seeing this? There are different reasons why the word of God will not work in your life, but it is not faith. Like, it's because each and every one of us has faith in his spirit. So what now happens is how we apply that faith, how we lay hold of that faith, how we express that faith that is already within us. Now, we know that our spirit man is complete, true of us. Our spirit man is perfect, because at redemption, our spirit was changed. The same way our body will be changed in an instant when Christ comes again, is the same way at redemption, our spirit was changed and perfected in an instant. So in that instant, your spirit is fully furnished with faith. In that instant, your spirit is fully seated with Christ. So your spirit knows all these things. So the only thing that now has to happen is that you have to transfer it from your spirit to your soul. You have to transfer it from your spirit to your senses. You have to transfer it from your spirit to your body. So that is where we are, each and every one of us must partner with God. Each and every one of us must partner with the faith of God. So we have our own responsibility to partner with the faith of God. We don't have, it's not our responsibility to go and get the faith, but it's our responsibility to go and partner with it, because we have already received it when we believed, right? Okay. The same faith we used when we got saved is the same, it's always available in our spirit. Even though our soul and our body might not align, it is always in our spirit. That is why we must renew our mind with the word of God. So, let's use sickness or some sickness or depression or any, like, anything that is not in line with God's word. Just give it as an example. The more you look at what God says concerning that issue, the more you look at what God has determined should be happening in your life, the more your mind is changed, the more you are aligning, the more your faith is activated, the more you are conforming to that image of the ideal person God wants you to be. Right? Philemon 1 verse, after I read Philemon 1 verse 6, then we'll look at a scriptural example of what I was just saying. But let's read Philemon 1 verse 6 quickly. Philemon 1 verse 6. It says that the sharing, or KJV say that the communication, that the sharing or the communication of your faith will be made effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it is by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus that the communication of your faith will be made effectual, that the communication of your faith will be made effective, that your faith would hold substance. But if you don't know what Christ has done for you, if you don't know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are going to continue suffering condemnation, because you have not laid hold of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. If you don't know that by his stripes you are healed, you are going to continue to lay hold to sickness when you can easily drop it at his feet. So we must lay hold of that which has been done for us in Christ Jesus, lay hold of the fullness that we have in Christ Jesus, and then we'll see results. Right? Okay, so now let's read a literal example. Let's go to Colossians, of how to partner with the faith of God. Colossians 3. We read from verse 1 to 7. Colossians 3, from verse 1 to 7. Now, remember I said that our spirit is already perfect. Our spirit has been changed. Our spirit, 1 Corinthians, okay, I can't remember the exact verse, but tell us that we have the same, or we are one spirit with God. So the word tells us that we are one spirit with God. The word also makes us know that as he is, so are we in this world. So our spirit already knows all these things. In our spirit, all these resources are available. What is left or what we need is to transfer it out to our body, transfer it out to our soul, transfer it to our mind. Right? Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1 to 7, I'll read. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Past tense, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members." But you died. Verse 3 tells us you died. But now, verse 5 is telling us, put to death your members. So are we dead or should we put to death? So let's continue. We said, "Therefore, put to death your members, which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." So we see in verse 3 that it says that, "For you died in Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Our spirit man knows this reality. Our spirit man is aware that that nature of sin has been done away with. That old man of sin has been done away with. And we have this new man who is to live righteously to God. Our spirit man is already aware. How do we express our faith in this place? We come to verse 5. It says, "Therefore, put to death your members." Our spirit man is aware, but we still have this flesh. We still have this mind that is walking around in this present age. So it's our responsibility and our duty to put to death every activity of the dead man. It's our duty to put to death every activity of the dead man. So, by faith, we already know that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. But by faith also, we now put to death every activity of that dead man. Right? So, we partner with the faith of God. The faith of God says that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We, in our actions, the way we react, we now therefore put to death every member of the members of our body, uncleanness, lust, fornication, all these things, right? So this is a practical example of how to partner with the word of God. So the word of God has gone forth concerning different things in your life. The word of God has said, "Oh, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, this, that, but you are not seeing it. You lay hold. You lay hold of that word. You are tenacious with it. You believe that you have received it and you will have it. Like, it is not your, like I said before, it's not in your place to know how it would be done, but it's in your place to trust in God. God is the performer, you are the believer. So, know that, okay, now, let us read, the point I just made, partner with the faith of God. We ought to partner with the faith of God, right? So that one is one of the ways that we can act on this faith. So it's by partnering with the faith of God. So by partnering with everything that the word of God has said. If the word of God has said we are this, then that is how we carry ourselves in that manner, right? Know that the faith of God does exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Know that this faith of God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. Let us read a backstory. We already know the backstory. Genesis 15, where God met Abraham and told him blessed him and everything. And in 17, he told him that in Genesis 17, he told him that his descendants would be as the stars of the sky. They would be as plenty as the stars of the sky. Or Genesis 15. So let's see it actually. Genesis 15, verse 5. I said 17. I'm going to say something about 17 later. Sorry, it's not 17. But I will say something about 17. That's why I went here. Genesis 15, verse 5. Let's read it quickly. Genesis 15, verse 5, it says, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to them, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So this is God speaking to Abraham, right? Or at this time, his name was still Abraham, right? And in Romans 4, we know that it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham partnered with God. Well, we see in this is verse chapter 15. In chapter 16, we see that Abraham then had another son, Ishmael, right? So he was like, this promise, when will it come? This faith I'm holding on, when will it act? When will it bring this result, right? So in him and Sarah's own wisdom, in him and Sarah's own human kind of faith, in him and Sarah's human kind of faith, they said, okay, take the maid and let her give us that son, right? And then they did this, and we see that God told them that it's not him. It's not him. Like, you are doing your own. This is not him. I will bless him, but he's not the one, right? Then in chapter 17, we see that God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and the meaning of Abraham simply means father of many. Like, the translation means like father of multitudes. That is how it's translated literally. And why did God do this? He did this so that Abraham would partner with him. Because as Abraham is calling his name father of many nations, father of multitudes, that is what he's aligning himself to what God has already said. So Abraham in this way partnered with the faith of God. He conformed, he left his own way of thinking and then took on God's idea. And then he acted on it, or he began to work with it by this new name, right? Okay, so and then we see that there he had Isaac, and then, but now where I'm also going is in Deuteronomy 1 verse 10, Moses made a statement. Now he did not make this statement only once, but this is the one that I saw quickly. Deuteronomy 1 verse 10. So this was Moses with the children of Israel in the when they were still in the wilderness going to the promised land, right? And he made a statement. He said, okay, Deuteronomy 1 verse 10. Okay. It says, the Lord your God has multiplied. So talking to the children of Israel, Moses saying this, says, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today, as many as the stars of heaven in multitude. So to Moses, what he was seeing in the wilderness was a fulfillment of God's word to Abraham. So he was like, there are so many. But here is this, in the book of Numbers, if you go in the book of Numbers, in the first few chapters, they were numbering the children of Israel. They would say, and the clan of this were 677,000, the clan of this was 400. So they were numberable. They were numerable. You could number them, right? But he still made a statement like, you poor are as much as the multitude of stars. So that is what he thought. He thought that this is what the faith of God wanted to accomplish when he spoke to Abraham, right? But when we go to the New Testament in the book of Romans 4, we realize that the promise to the seed was not through the law but through faith. So the children of Israel at that time, they had the law. Like, they were the ones who had the law. So they could not have been that multitude that God was speaking of when he was talking to Abraham. The multitude that he was speaking of are those who believe by faith. In Romans 4, you see that also. It says that the promise is to the seed and to those who believe by faith. Right? So Moses, he saw the multitude and like, you put as much as stars in the sky. The word of God has been fulfilled. You are going to the promised land, the land which I'm taking you. And when people get there, that is it. God has done his work. We will die then. He will take us to himself. But that was not God's plan. The faith of God was able to do, or was planning to do, much more. We cannot count how many people who have believed in the gospel from the time of Christ till now. Okay, they can say, oh, all the Christians in the world now, okay, let's do census. How many are you? Maybe they might not be able to even count everybody. But you cannot count everyone who has believed from the day Christ died, from after Christ's death, till now. So those guys who God was speaking of when he said, I will make you as numerable as the stars in the sky. Hebrews 11 verse 12, just to solidify this. Hebrews 11 verse 12. I'll just read it quickly. It says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, we are born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So this is the book of Hebrews now giving the account of Abraham and like what he has done now, like in relation to what has happened now, right? Okay, so I wrote here, do not limit the faith of God. Do not limit the faith of God that is at work in you. Do not limit. So let's give an example. So something as, let's say when we speak in tongues, we do it by faith, right? Speaking in tongues is done, we do it by faith. The just shall live by faith. Everything we do it by faith. When we speak in tongues, we do it by faith. Give a prophecy, we do it by faith. Word of knowledge, by faith. Word of wisdom, by faith. Healing is by faith. Everything, we do it by faith. Not because we were there in the upper room and we knew the syllables of the tongues that they were speaking, but because of faith. Because we know, and we are taught. We know, okay, when you pray in tongues, this is what is happening. This is how it should be done. So we understand it now and we apply our faith to do it. So the sense, your sense will try to tell you, you are just saying rubbish, stop, oh, stop, this is wrong tongue. Stop. But you have to persevere. You have to go beyond what your natural man is saying. Even in prophecy, you might have a word for somebody, you might have a word to speak and you're like, no, this is just my mind speaking. But unless you act on it, you would not know whether it is true or not. So you have to extend your faith to reach out to that person or to speak that word that you have received in prayer. So everything we do it by faith. And where I was going, I said, do not limit the faith of God. So let's say you have been surrounded with people who are working in spiritual gifts, and then your desire is you want to prophesy. So one day you are praying in your room and there is an outpouring of the Spirit and you just receive a word for somebody. And then you come to church, you give the person the word, you see the result and you're like, yes, I've done it. Now I can relax. I don't need to do it again. Like, you are limiting. Now, I don't believe that this literally happens to anybody by God's grace. But if, like, you act like this. Now, this I'm just using, like, prophecy as one way. But there are many other ways we can limit the faith of God in us. And these things will come from, like, the flesh, the mind. Like, we know that the flesh is always warring with the Spirit. Our faith comes from the Spirit, and we have to be in line and in tune with the Spirit to use the faith. Right? Oh, something I did not say in when I was talking about Colossians 3, when it was talking about deading and dead. We know that it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we keep everything? How do we remain dead? By walking in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? We walk in the Spirit by faith. Everything, the just shall live by faith. Right? So I just want to encourage like everyone here. Like, we might have seen or gone through things that have limited our faith in certain areas of life. Like, you might have lost a loved one to sickness or accident or something, and now when it's time to pray for healing, you are like, will it happen? There's a restriction in your mind. You are not able to express it. But just know that in your spirit man, there is the faith of God. And there is no limitation to that faith. Do not let the situations of life limit the faith of God that is in you. You are a man of faith. Say, I'm a man of faith. The faith of God is at work in me. I see great results because of the faith of God. I do exceedingly and abundantly because of the faith of God. Just make that your prayer now. Kedado shada bareda do sakanda reda do jandele deska. I do exceedingly and abundantly because of the Spirit of God, because of the faith of God that is at work in me. Erado zagande reda do shandele deska.